Hello everyone, welcome back to the 2019 edition of the Why Podcast. This time, we are, how many years late are we? Like two and a half?
Two and a half years,
not bad. Today, my name is Rory Aragon. I'm joined by special guest Aaron Hawkins, who's mic. He's on the mic with me. We have our usual additions, Jaden O'Connor.
Hello.
Keenan Fernandez.
Hello.
And for the first time, we have Ewan Stevens.
Hello.
Oh, God.
He's here to show us how audio is done.
That's right.
He's here to make this podcast a bit better.
$300 mic into a $1,000 interface, and then transmitted over 4G to a tower 10Ks away.
Ooh, not bad. So today we'll be counting down our top 10 favorite movies that were released in 2019. I think it was quite a good year, and we're not going to faff about and waste any time. Ewan Stevens, as the esteemed guest, would you like to announce your number 10 favorite film and why?
My number 10. Okay, let's go. So I should just clarify. I have seen at this point, as far as I can tell, 11 movies that came out in 2019. So honorable mention to Detective Pikachu, which didn't make the cut.
Shame.
It was replaced just a couple months ago by Uncut Gems.
You like to win, right? This is no different than that.
Black Jewel, power, nigga.
This is my fucking way.
You think I'm stupid, Howard? You and your whole fucking family. I heard you resurface your fucking swimming pool. You know how that makes me feel.
Never resurface.
You think your life is more important than my life?
I don't know who said that.
Ooh. Which was an interesting movie. Unusually dramatic role for Adam Sandler, most known for his comedy stuff. It was interesting to see him in that kind of environment there. It only gets to number 10, even though I think it was quite a well-made movie, and it was certainly an interesting movie to watch. I think I've talked to you before about this, Rory, or at least I've spoken to someone about it, but I don't really enjoy movies and TV shows about people just fucking up their life.
Yeah, I think my response to that was, does it hit too close to home for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. For most of the movie, I just like I couldn't really sympathize with any of the characters too much. I was just, this guy's such an asshole that I didn't really enjoy it. But then I do have to say, like, the last or the final sort of scene or act or whatever you would call it, where he's, you know, he's betting on the game and he's watching the game and you're waiting for the bet to come through, was an extremely intense and very thrilling scene. And I also thought, am I allowed to spoil? Are we avoiding spoilers?
Does anyone care?
It's been 2 years. I think we're allowed to. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Shit, I haven't seen it.
I think that the ending was very fitting.
When
they
gets
ended
fucking
with
shot in the forehead.
Yeah. Because like I was like, oh man, how are they going to end this? Because, you know, if he wins and everything's fine, it's like he got rewarded for being a dickhead.
Yeah.
But you still wanted there to be that payoff. So I liked that he won. He got the money, or his girlfriend got the money, and you're all happy, and then he just gets fucking shot, and you're like, oh, there's the retribution sort of. So I thought that was really well done. It was a good ending.
We may see that at some point on someone's list. It was on Australian Netflix, so I'm sure a few of us have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the US Netflix too.
Oh, was it?
All right, pop down, Ken.
Yeah. What? The
All right,
fuck did you say to me? No. What the fuck did you say to me?
Okay.
Yeah,
stays
quiet.
Settle down, boys. Now we'll have Aaron Hawkins with his number 10, as he is the second least experienced.
Yep. So my number 10 is The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
We built these ships. Dredged these canals. In the San Francisco they never knew existed. This is our home. You two stick together.
So it's a very good movie, in my opinion. talks a lot about gentrification, just about also a lot about life and human experience, which I really enjoy. Didn't really get a lot of attention over here, which I feel like it should, but yeah, it's a very good movie. I like the storyline. The characters felt very human, I guess. It seemed like a very natural movie, and also spoke a lot of issues, which I mostly found gentrification really interesting, because I've been learning heaps about it in uni, and then it just sort of, it was interesting seeing that portrayed in a movie sense.
Mm. That's one of the movies I actually did not watch.
It's very good.
I didn't even know that was a movie.
Is this an indie film?
Yeah, I've never heard of it before. It is. It is an indie film.
I do have a 12 GB file of it, torrented on my computer, but I've not watched it.
It is a very, I would highly recommend it. It's a very good movie to watch.
Did you watch it at Luna, Aaron?
No.
I watched it on CokeandPopcorn.tv.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think I'm going to miss Luna, I think.
What? Really? Trust me.
Well, you've been there two times.
That is absolutely not true.
What are you talking
about? Sorry, five.
The indie cinema here in Perth is called the Luna, which is just...
Okay.
The screen and sound quality are fucking atrocious, but it's the only place...
Wait, and it just shows indie films? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like indie films, you know.
Okay, let's move on. Jaden O'Connor, what's your number 10, mate?
Alright, my number 10 is kind of shit. I actually don't want this to be on the list, to be honest, but it's going to have to be because I only saw 10 movies. God. So, my number 10 is Captain Marvel.
We can't do this alone. We need you.
I'm not what you think I am.
Oh, Captain Marvel! I've not heard a single word out of it since it came out, so...
Yeah.
Why did you like that so much, Jaden?
Oh, dude, where do I start? It's, I think it's about feminism, honestly.
oh, feminism.
God damn it.
It's about this superhero that can make herself really bright, I think. And she just charges at everything and just thinks she's doing a good job. It's pretty good. 6 out of 10.
Okay, nice.
Sounds like a typical Marvel film then.
I'm going to do my number 10 now. I'm actually just like you guys. I haven't really gone in depth into my list. So my number 10 is... I'm going to say that it is Ad Astra.
I do what I do because of my dad. He gave his life for the pursuit of knowledge. Because up there is where our story's going to be told.
Ooh.
Which is a movie that is very flawed. And definitely not in the top 10 best movies, I would say, but it's just become one of those movies that I put on like a fucking weekend, or it's mainly just for the visuals. It's got that Hoyt Van Hoytema cinematography, and it's a journey into the soul, kind of distracting ripoff of Apocalypse Now, but still very, very entertaining and artful in its execution, but definitely could have been like a top-notch amazing movie. It definitely suffers from the voiceover for no reason trope, but yeah, still a movie that I enjoy, and it may appear on someone else's list, who knows.
Almost
definitely not
down.
I've never heard that movie.
Brad Pitt in space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
This was Brad Pitt's comeback here. Aaron, you're going to need to stop doing that. Fiddling a wire right next to the microphone. Check you off. Okay, Kenan Fernandez.
Who?
The main event.
All right. Oh, no, it's... I told Jaden before the podcast started, I'm like, you can disregard the bottom half of my list, because they were either really good movies or really bad movies in 2019, from what I saw.
The interesting thing is how you rank them, Kenan. It really displays how little knowledge you have.
Yeah, no shit. You've heard the past couple podcasts, haven't you? My number 10 was Pikachu.
Did you just talk?
Whoa. Did you just understand me?
Oh my god! You can understand me!
Stop!
I've been so lonely!
They try to talk to me all the time. All they hear is Pika Pika.
You can hear him, right?
Pika Pika!
Yeah, Pika Pika Pika. He's adorable.
You're adorable. They can't understand me, kid.
Can no one else hear him?
All right.
Interesting.
I liked it. It was all right. It wasn't anything crazy, and it wouldn't have been in my top 10 if it came out in, like, any other year except 2019.
It's funny how much we're trashing, like, the year of 2019 when, like, about only 10 films at all came out in 2020.
Yeah, I was thinking our next episode's going to be rough, isn't it?
It's going to be pretty shit.
Oh, dude, we're going to have to do top 5.
I just wanted to say on Detective Pikachu, so you said you did like it, Keenan? Is that...
It was all right. Yeah, it was a solid.
It's like Ewan took out the trash and then Keenan brought it right back in.
I just remember outside, man. Why would you leave this there?
My memory of Detective Pikachu was I was just like, it didn't really fit like the Pokemon universe because it was like that one. They set it in the one city where like nobody has a Pokemon or whatever. Like they made up this city where. And it's I was like, what's the point of having a Pokemon movie if not everyone's not like a Pokemon trainer? You know, it just felt like this weird plot that they took from something else and then just shoehorned.
They
kind of
just took Pokemon and added them into like a detective movie.
That's right,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I feel like if they did a better job with like where it was set and how the story and the plot went along, it would definitely be higher. Because I like the, like just seeing Pokemon like... in live action like that, it was pretty cool, honestly, because I haven't seen a movie like that with Pokemon ever.
All right, then. Well, my number nine, probably controversially, I'm sure this will appear much higher on some other people's list, Joker.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
didn't love Joker as much as a lot of people seem to think. I thought that it was like well made and it was certainly interesting and I enjoyed watching it, but I didn't love it just because I felt like the movie thought that it was so much cleverer than it really was. Like I didn't think it was a particularly profound or important movie. It was just a movie, but maybe I was just conflating like the hype around it with the movie itself, but it felt like it was supposed to be this grand examination of the human psyche or whatever, and it was just a mental health is important kind of thing. So yeah, I didn't love Joker as much as many other people.
We're now on to Aaron, number 9, please.
My number 9 is Jojo Rabbit.
Hi, Hitler. I wish more of our young boys had your blind fanaticism.
Did you know Jews can read each other's minds?
But how would you know if you saw one? They could look just like us.
Hi.
Jojo Rabbit is a film about... from New Zealand director Taika Waititi. And it's a comedy take on World War II, living in Nazi Germany. About a family who's keeping a Jewish girl as a...
slave.
In secret, in the wall.
Oh.
And, it's very satirical, very funny, but also takes a very, very, very fucking dark turn, and then you're like, oh, shit, it truly is a World War II movie. I won't spoil it, it's very, very good, but it takes a very, very dark turn, you're like, oh, shit.
Okay. It's like, I'm not going to spoil it, but at the end, man, that guy died.
No, but you don't mean
at
like...
At the end, have you ever heard of a place, it rhymes with... Nauschwitz.
No, but like, at the end, you're like, oh yeah, it's a movie set in World War II. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it either. I really, if I did, it would probably be on my list. I need to watch it.
The soundtrack's very good. It's put on the best soundtracks. Even though, like, it isn't really, like, World War II music, it's more like 80s music, but they've, like, transferred into, like, into German. Does that make sense? So, like, a lot of 80s.
Wait, so it's like synth pop?
No, it's like a lot of 80s and 70s like popular songs, but then it's put into German. You know, they sort of like changed the music tone to like be more like retro. I know, it's very good. Show your next person.
Aaron, if you don't want to be here, just leave. Like, seriously.
No.
Stop trying to fucking rush through the podcast. Like, go fuck. It. If you don't want to be here, just fuck off.
Domestic.
Now that we've dealt with that thing, let's deal with Jaden's number 9.
All right. My number 9 is The Lion King Remake by Jon Favreau.
What the fuck?
Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. While others search for what they can take, a true king searches for what he can give.
We all know the story. It doesn't get points for originality. But I liked how they went about the live action. I think it was impressive. It looked very real, and I thought it was a big leap forward for that type of genre. So that's why it gets a little bit it gets higher than Captain Marvel, because Captain Marvel was shite.
All right. Did anyone else see the Lion King remake?
I did. It was literally the Lion King, but live action. There was nothing else to it. Literally nothing.
Can I ask you though, Jaden? Someone gives you, let's say, Liv comes home. She goes, "I want to watch the Lion King tonight. Do you want to watch the original or the remake? Which one are you going to watch?
Which one are you choosing?" Yeah.
Original, by Country Mile.
Yeah. So does that mean? I feel like that just means that it's a. Like, I'm not trying to, like, shit on your list or anything, but I feel like that just means that it's a shitty movie.
It's kind of shit list,
because it's like, why, if this movie exists, but you'd always rather watch a different movie than this movie, then surely it's just
I don't think anyone's arguing that it wasn't just for cash.
Yeah, of course.
Man, you need to remember I've only watched 10 movies in 2019.
Yeah, no, I'm...
He has a point. He has a point.
I don't have any other option.
Okay, Keenan Fernandez, what is your number 9?
Did we miss you, or did you already say yours?
Oh, right, me. Sorry. My number 9 is a French film called Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Je suis venu pour vous peindre. C'était donc ça, vos regards.
Oh, I've heard of that, I think.
It's about a woman who is sent to an island to paint a portrait of another woman who is like a royal of some sort. But she must do it without the subject realizing she's painting. Shades of Call Me By Your Name in a more lesbian fashion. And it's not something I'd probably watch often, so that's why it's not really up there. But in terms of like quality of film, if you're in the mood for it, it's definitely probably in the top 5. Keenan, you're number 9.
It was Knives Out.
Are you baiting me, detective?
Attempting to be thorough so we can figure out the manner of death.
You mean if someone killed him? You think one of us, one of his family, Walt killed him?
Mr. Blanc, I just buried my father who committed suicide. Why are you here?
I suspect foul play.
I think it was very predictable towards the end. So, like, you know how all mystery movies have that weird twist at the end, but there were so many twists that you kind of saw where it was going. But I still liked the effort. I liked the, I guess, just the way the movie carried out with the whole, you know, who's the killer thing, who's the killer vibe. And I haven't seen a movie like that in a long time. And I don't know, I don't have much else to add. It's number 9 because it wasn't great and it was pretty predictable at the end. If it was actually something crazy with a plot twist, that would be nice.
Anyone else see that?
I did see it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is it upcoming or?
Well, I've only seen 10 movies.
Yeah, all right, I guess it's on both your lists.
Jaden's entire thing this podcast is, well, I've only seen 10 movies.
Don't ask me if I've seen a movie, because it's a spoiler.
You can't, yeah, exactly. If he says yes, that means it's on his list.
I'm just trying to calculate what our Y podcast overall favorite movie will be, because for 2018 it was Hereditary. So only real thing is all of us have to have seen it, so it's probably only a pool of like 7 to 10 movies that it could be.
I'm sure we'll find a movie further up the list that we all like that's in our top 5.
I'm sure that we will. Sure.
Yeah, okay. I can see a couple on my list that I'm sure most of you or almost everyone would have seen.
Well, why don't you reveal your next pick, Ewan, number 8.
My number 8 was the very cinematic but a little bit empty 1917.
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
Yes, sir.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
Great choice.
So quite well renowned for its sort of the having the air of being like a single shot for an entire movie. You know, certainly an impressive feat. I think it was well done. It didn't feel like a gimmick because I thought it felt very immersive and you really felt like you were in the story or in the scene with the constantly moving camera. I'm sure that it was a logistical nightmare to plan, so it was well paid off. But in terms of like overall plot, I don't know. I feel like the movie suffered slightly, perhaps because of it having to be that single shot, maybe, but I guess the plot, I don't know, it just felt like it was basically the same movie as the classic Australian Gallipoli movie about the Australian soldiers in Gallipoli, of like two soldiers trying to save a bunch of other soldiers from doing a suicidal attack. So yeah, I don't know, I felt it was a more spectacle than substance, but it was still enjoyable to watch.
I imagine that also will be upcoming, so maybe we just hold the rest of our thoughts until then. Let's try and get through this bottom 5 relatively quickly so we can focus on the things we really like. Aaron, number 8.
All right, so my number 8 is probably very unheard of. Don't know if it's something I think might have heard of more than you.
You have to refer to me as
a name. Rory Agan?
Yes.
I watched it in Korea. We thought it was a Korean film. Turns out it was a Chinese film.
Oh, it was Parasite.
No, it's a Chinese film. Turns out it was a Chinese film. Thankfully, it had English and Korean subtitles when you watched it. But it's called An Elephant Sitting Still. Have you heard of it, Rory?
I've heard the name, but not
it's
much.
Very good. It's about a group of 4 people, and it's basically very much, it's not really, it's mostly just centered around life, basically. There's like a little kid in it who, he's being wanted by the cops for killing someone, because he accidentally pushed someone during a fight, and they fell and died, so it's basically like this group of 4 people trying to look after this kid who's being wanted by the police. It's set in mainland China, it's very, very good. I'd highly recommend watching it. It's all in subtitles. Because I don't know if you're all against the controversy, but Victor Lowe does not watch movies with subtitles. But if you do like subtitles, it is a very, very good movie. And it'll probably be a bit higher. But it's just an all-round very, very good movie. It's hard to explain, but just, it's very well shot. The characters all seem very real. It's very like gritty, which I prefer that more. I kind of prefer films that are more like, I guess, based in reality than just like glitz and glamour, if I'm being honest. It seems like more of a realistic sort of film, but yeah. It was very sort of human. The acting was amazing. Even though I didn't speak the language, it was still could still feel like the emotion through the movie. But yeah, very, very good movie.
Interesting choice.
Well, am I indirectly supporting the CCP if I watch that?
Well, the movie's about them avoiding the government and avoiding the police, so it's up to you how you interpret it, but it's still made in China.
Interesting choice. I assume no one has seen that.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
James,
I've seen
be
it.
Quiet.
James has. Oh my god.
That's my number one, man.
All right, James.
How would Aaron feel if I put that as my number one?
He'd probably feel belittled and that he's not special anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I'll cry and start self-harming.
No, it's not like it's number one.
Oh my god.
Jaden, what is your number eight, good sir?
My number eight is Spider-Man Far From Home.
I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Bitch, please, you've been to space.
What do you want, Peter? I want to go back on my trip with the girl who I really like and tell her how I feel. MJ,
I am Spider-Man.
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
So, just another general movie that came out. Pretty average. But
general movie that came out.
Starts your review of Air.
This guy loves film.
Air, pretty generic.
Don't worry. Similar reviews will be said for the top five.
Oh, wow. Jaden, how many Marvel films make your list?
I'm telling you right now, the bottom five are shite. Anyways.
Yeah, same.
How many Marvel films are on your list, Jaden?
Well, it's like, two so far.
Like eight?
What?
2019 was a pretty prolific year for Marvel, like, from memory.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, Jaden, Spider-Man Far From Home.
All right, yeah. So I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but it's about Peter Parker going to Europe with his schoolmates, and he... I'm trying to remember the movie now. He intercepts... this mysterious guy that steals his glasses or something like that, and then the world needs saving. It's pretty good. I like the action sequences. 5 out of 10.
Wait, didn't you give Captain Marvel a 6?
You gave your number 10 a 6 out of 10, and you gave your number 8 a 5 out of 10.
It's about preference, not quality, Kenan. Come on now.
Right, Kenan.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you going to do next year? Because, like, no Marvel movies came out in 2020.
Oh, shit. I'll just say Scarlet Witch. No. Or not Scarlet Witch. What was it? Black Widow.
And, I mean, you can start listening of, like, the Marvel TV shows.
That's coming out this year, mate.
WandaVision.
Yeah, but, like, it was supposed to come out in 2020.
I'm sure you guys have seen 5. Like, there would be...
I honestly did not... I haven't been to a theater in, like, a year and a half, so I don't think I've watched any movies in 20.
We might have to open it to TV shows then. All right. Yeah. My number 8 is a lovely little film called Marriage Story.
What I love about Nicole, she is a mother who plays, really plays.
What I love about Charlie, he loves being a dad. He loves all the things you're supposed to hate, like waking up at night.
She knows when to push me and when to leave me alone.
He never lets other people keep him from what he wants to do.
Dad, you're too far.
I know. It's not easy for her to close a cabinet.
He's incredibly neat.
She's brave.
He's brilliant. She's very competitive.
It's available on Netflix.
Mm.
I'm not a child of divorce, so it didn't, like, fucking fuck me up. I just admired it
didn't
as a
resonate
screenplay.
With you.
Mainly just as an incredible, like, Noah Baumbach script. And excellent acting from Adam Driver and Scarlet Bitch.
Oi, Jaden.
Scarlet Bitch.
Did you just interrupt me?
I did.
To say oi, Jaden.
Yeah, Aaron.
Let's watch
did
it.
Did you want to catch up Monday or something?
Yes, Monday, let's watch it.
Has anyone seen this film?
I've heard of it.
Yes, it will be appearing on my list.
Oh, spoilers. Surely. Okay. Yeah, it's very good. Very personal. I've only seen it once, and I doubt I'll watch it again. But it was good enough to warrant a spot on the top 10 for sure. Oi, Kenan, what's your number 8?
Yeah. My number... Oh, shit, it's a meme as well. It's Jumanji Next Level.
This next adventure is even more challenging. And remember, the future of Jumanji is in your hands.
I have one important question. Who is Jumanji?
Is that Barbara's boy?
We're gonna die.
We did die.
Are we in hell?
I knew it.
Oh my god.
Oh, dude, I think there's been a Jumanji for the past 3 years.
I keep putting Jumanji on there because now it's like tradition. but
wait a second, how many Jumanji movies have come out recently?
There's been three. I thought it was like one. Only two in the last three years. I managed to sneak one in last year too, I'm sure.
I think there's at least three.
No, it's Jumanji Into the Jungle and Jumanji Next Level.
How many in the reboots with like Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson?
I think it's only two for those.
It's two of those ones. Oh, okay. Yep.
I do. I don't have much else to add. I think it's great with the Jumanji Next Level is just taking the whole body switching thing and doing it all over again. And I think that's pretty cool. I also do see how it doesn't have... How do I say? It's the surprise factor isn't really there from like the last film, if you know what I mean. Like it wasn't as crazy. But again, I don't really care enough to review this movie. I just put it in there because that's a movie I've seen.
I just want to add that I thought that my list was a little bit weak because there were some films that I only kind of liked on there. But hearing Keenan and Jaden speak about their
you
list,
and you like, and
this
you.
Movie was shit, but I had nothing else. So I've got a little bit more confidence.
This is your first time on the podcast, so I'll let that slide. But you have to know you'll never have the worst list when me and Jaden are on the podcast. I promise you.
It's true. Imagine what it was like the first four episodes when it was only me, Jaden, and Keenan. At least when Aaron joined last year, it was like, oh, someone else actually had a list.
Yeah, Aaron brought like more culture to the list, like with these like Chinese films and stuff. Me and Jaden were just listing off Marvel and shit movies for like the first 4 years.
Yeah, the real bread and butter of the Y podcast is like the top three where like Ken and Jaden actually
try. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. Ewan, you're number seven.
All right, my number seven is a return of Knives Out.
Everyone in the family has possible motives. Was Harlan planning on cutting off Joni? Did he plan to fire Walter?
Is Richard having an affair?
That's some heavy-duty conjecture.
Funny, Ransom, you skipped the funeral, but you're early for the will reading.
Up your ass.
Very nice, oh, Ransom.
Slap that motherfucker!
I gotta do this more often.
Hey.
I remember going to see Knives Out because I was hanging out. I think I saw it with you, Jaden, and I remember Victor was there. Maybe Josh as well. And we like rocked up to Hoyt's because we were like going to see this movie. And the girl was like, oh yeah, that one's not actually on. There's like a problem with Google thinks that we're showing movies when we're not. So we couldn't see that movie. I think it might have been Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or something. I don't know. And we were like, okay.
Shit.
We were like, oh, what else is on? And it was like Knives Out, which I'd never heard of, and something else. And we were just like, fuck it.
Where were we? We were at Southlands, right?
No, it was at Garden City. So I went in there with like no knowledge of whatever the hell was going on and was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a really entertaining movie. I tend to get quite enthralled in like murder mysteries. It's just sort of, I don't try necessarily to guess where it's going to go. I just sort of live in the moment of the movie. So I don't think about the twists until they happen. And, you know, I was sort of caught off guard a little bit. I remember being caught off guard somewhat by the twists and all the twists and turns and everything. I thought it was, even though it was fairly standard murder mystery format, it was, I don't know, it felt like a reasonably fresh take. And certainly an enjoyable film to watch.
At least two sequels coming to Netflix.
Really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Ryan Johnson a $400 million deal. The man will be rich as fuck.
I don't know if it was worth two sequels and $400 million.
Yeah, Netflix just throws that money away.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah, great. I also enjoyed this movie. Not in my top 10. Jaden, did you see it? Just so I know if we can hold the conversation.
Do you want to know?
I do want to know.
All right. Yeah, I did see that one because I was with Ewan.
Yeah, I was. So I was with you. I couldn't quite remember.
All right, we'll hold that. We'll hold that. The group.
Dude, process of elimination is important.
Aaron Hawkins, what is your number six favorite?
Well, isn't my number seven?
Another... Oh, number seven. Sorry.
Number seven is the indie film 1917.
We've got orders to cross here.
That is the German front line.
If we're not clever about this, no one will get to your brother.
I will.
I just think it's this very good, like, all-round war movie. as you previously mentioned, I like the fact that it was shot in like one continuous shot. Very cool. I like the cinematic of it. Overall, I typically like World War One movies more than World War Two movies. I feel like it's more, I guess, interesting. I guess in terms of like
that does check out with your list, given that this one ranked above Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, well, and I just feel like World War Two, World War One is like more gruesome and more like barbaric, and I feel like it's more of an interesting topic for a cinephile movie.
All right, let's move on to who the fuck's next? Jaden O'Connor, number 7.
All right. My number 7 is Avengers Endgame.
I keep telling everybody they should move on. Some do, but not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
Fuck.
Number 7. Third Marvel movie.
His third Marvel movie.
Another Marvel movie.
Endgame's good though. Endgame's it's a respectable choice.
No, yeah. The order of the Marvel movies was thought out. Endgame, I thought it was it was really good because it was like the most ambitious crossover movie in history. That is all.
Okay.
God damn it. Moving on. Say more about it.
Unless Kanan is like trying to zag and like be like not be himself, I can imagine it being coming up again.
Endgame? Yeah, it's definitely coming up. No spoilers, but it's on my list.
Ooh, number 1 then.
Number 1.
I want to say that I feel very hipster by admitting that I have not seen Endgame.
Really?
Too cool for it.
Yeah. Wow. You think you're better than
actually,
me?
The only Avengers film I've seen is the second one.
That's
the worst
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it at Josh's house.
He probably thinks he's even more hipster for seeing the worst one.
Oh, I absolutely do, yeah.
Oh my god.
At number 7, I have written Tarantino's film from the year, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm.
Explain to the audience exactly what it is a stunt double does.
Actors are required to do a lot of dangerous stuff. Cliff here is meant to help carry the load.
Is that how you describe your job, Cliff?
What, carrying his load? Yeah, it's about right.
I wanted to see this movie.
A great pairing of the cast. Leo and Brad Pitt work together excellently. That's probably my favorite aspect of the movie, the chemistry between them. But I guess in terms of what Tarantino's trying to achieve with the movie, I'd say Margot Robbie's probably the most important character there. It's supposed to be a contrast between these two guys who are essentially on the fast track to become boomers, or that sort of fucking hippie hating old Hollywood cunts. Contrasted with the new star who is just extremely innocent. Yeah, it's his love letter to Hollywood, which I'm sure he's been planning for a long time. It's pretty chill movie despite being 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's not quite Pulp Fiction, but it's definitely a movie that I'm sure I'll go back to a few times. Okay, Kanan, number 7, please.
My number 7 is Glass.
Beast is coming any minute now for you guys.
But what I am questioning is your belief that you are something more than human.
And yet, it is true.
Oh.
The reviews that I read, and as I'm reading right now, everyone said it was it got a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes, but I don't get that. I really like the movie. I wouldn't say it's better than Split. I think Split was still a pretty good movie, but I like the whole comic book-esque style they did with it, with like superheroes and villains and how they just put them all in like a insane asylum. And yeah, I like how they brought all these characters back. It's pretty cool.
Here we are at number 6, almost to the top 5. Boys, let's try and get through number 6 in like the next 5 minutes. Yeah. Ewan Stevens, number 6, brief explanation.
Right. My number 6, another reappearance, Marriage Story.
I realized I didn't ever really come along for myself. I was just feeding his aliveness. And he doesn't really
I'll never get to really be his parent again. He needs to know that I fought for him.
Quite a good film. It was like kind of a slow burn. There's not a lot of like super intense scenes in it, but I thought it was, you know, entertaining and enjoyable to watch. The only thing that I didn't really like about it was I felt that there was this sort of false equivalency in the movie where they tried to show, or the point of the divorce was like
fucking sit still
in the
what the fuck.
The point of what I felt the film was like during the marriage, it was all about, Adam Driver's character, like getting his way, and like he was controlling the marriage and she was unhappy. And then into the divorce, it was kind of her being happy and Adam Driver was getting fucked over. But my only issue was that you only ever heard about her, Scarlett Johansson's character, getting fucked over, whereas you saw Adam Driver's character getting fucked over. So even though I felt like the point of the movie was supposed to be that they were sort of equal in their getting fucked overness, I felt like you were just kind of predisposed to being more sympathetic to Adam Driver because you see what's happening to him rather than you only hear about what happened to her through exposition.
Right.
So that was my only real gripe with it, but otherwise, well done film.
Yeah, good points. All right, speed round continues. Aaron Hawkins, number six.
My number six was The Lighthouse.
Keeping secrets, are you?
No, sir.
Watch you spill your beans.
Like they say, black and white, like the homosexual undertones.
Of course it is.
I love the she shanties.
Homosexual. He was fucking a mermaid. Where was the homosexual undertones?
Oh, it's full of them, mate.
Mate, watch it again. Good storyline.
Didn't you see that gigantic vagina?
A homosexual horror.
Jaden, your turn.
Okay. So this is, I reckon this is where my list actually starts. So my number six was El Camino.
I get high and I get low.
Oh man, yep. I forgot about that one.
I did too.
Oh, so I've seen 12 movies that came out in 2019.
This was the post sequence after Breaking Bad. It's quite different from like the actual series. I felt like it had like a different feel to it. Did you guys get that as well?
Yeah, it did.
It was just bit more cinematic. Just the style had changed, but it wasn't like bad. It was, I liked it. Like when I saw like Jesse and Walt in that diner scene, it felt super different from what you saw in the TV show. But like it played out really well, and I really liked how Aaron Paul acted throughout the movie. I thought his performance was really good. Overall, I'd be keen to watch it again, to be honest.
So can I jump in and say that, so I saw El Camino with you guys before I'd watched Breaking Bad. And I remember that when we finished, I seemed to feel, or I felt like I liked it more than you guys did, because I didn't know the Breaking Bad style. And then I watched Breaking Bad last year when we were all sort of in lockdown, and I felt, and then like I finished that and I watched El Camino, and then I went to Better Call Saul. And I definitely feel like after having seen Breaking Bad, I did notice that shift or in how El Camino just wasn't quite the same. It did feel different. I didn't like it quite as much then. But yeah, still a good film.
Yeah, I liked it. I just overall felt like it was probably not essential. I feel like it didn't really add anything. Like, I kind of thought that the semi-ambiguous ending of Jesse just escaping kind of was perfect and they didn't really need to show anything else. And after finishing the movie, I was like, yeah, it was like thrilling. There's some cool techniques and shots in it, but I feel like it didn't really need to happen, to be honest. Okay, my number six is probably number one on my movies I didn't think I'd like. It's Little Women.
This is Meg, Amy, Beth, and Joe.
I intend to make my own way in the world.
No one makes their own way, least of all a woman. You'll need to marry well.
You are not married, aren't you?
Well, that's because I'm rich.
Greta Gerwig, who did Lady Bird, her adaptation of it. So she changes a few things, modernizes it a bit. You know, just one of those movies that I think anyone would really enjoy. But I always am kind of turned off by, like, period pieces. And I just don't want to watch them. But I was like, shit, this is pretty good. Kanan, your number six.
My number six, this will be a quick one, really. My number six is Spider-Man. Into the spot? No, not into the fucking home one. The home one.
Saving the world requires sacrifice. Sometimes people die.
Oh my god.
I just always feel like I'm putting my friends in danger.
The world needs the next Iron Man.
Are you going to step up or not?
No, it's literally why Jaden liked it. It's a Marvel movie and had Spider-Man in it. I liked it.
Nice. Nice work. Hey guys, we're at the top five. This is where shit gets real for most of us, I would assume. Now let's start with Ewan Stevens, number five.
Dun-dun-dun.
Once again, another previous pick, The Lighthouse. Quite a well done sort of horror or psychological thriller, very intense and very enthralling, super weird. I remember like sitting through the movie being like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, enjoyable film to watch. Would watch again.
And Kanan or Jaden, did you see it?
No, I haven't.
Any intentions?
Not even a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I very much enjoyed that film. No spoilers, but it may appear. Okay, let's move on to Aaron's number five. This is your fifth favorite movie. Yeah. You must really love it.
I actually really love it, even though I only saw half of it.
You only saw half of it, okay. Yeah.
You know
what the fuck? But that's fucking... What the fuck?
If you've seen the movie, it makes sense.
What the
fuck? Because it's essentially two movies in one. It's called Waves.
I will always love you. How I do.
It's been hard, hasn't it?
Let go of a prayer for you.
How you doing with everything?
I'm good.
Just a sweet word.
You know it's okay if you're not.
The table is prepared for you.
I'm trying to give you the tools to succeed in this world. It's not easy out there. Everything I do is for you.
So, basically the movie's split into two parts based on this very climatic event that happens in the center of the movie, and it switches focus from one character to another. And basically the character in the first half no longer becomes relevant, really, in the second half at all. So it's essentially like two sort of movies. So it focuses the first half on the brother, and then something happens and it focuses on the sister and her life.
And you haven't seen the sister part.
I haven't seen the sister part, but the first half I really, really liked. And it almost felt like a whole movie from start to finish, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
don't
I watched
you feel
it,
like...
I watched it this year with Rory, Kieran, and Kartika. And when the first half ended, I thought the movie had ended. We all thought the movie had ended. Except Rory's like, oh, the movie still goes. I'm like, what the fuck? Because it ends, and it feels like an ending, and it cuts to black for like 5 seconds. Like, oh, yeah, it's ended. And we're like, fucking got up, and it fucking starts again.
So why didn't you watch the next bit?
Because Roy turned off the TV.
I only felt like watching the first half.
Can I say, like, surely Rory, watching the second half adds at least some context or some, like, extra layer.
Yes,
to
it
the
does.
First
In
half.
Fact, I would argue the entire reason the movie's called Waves is because of the second half, not the first. because there's a traumatic right, so event Aaron... that happens in this family, and it's about how it ripples through and affects all the other members of the family.
But I still knew it
was
very good.
It's like Aaron was thinking like,
no, I understand that you think that it's waves. Good. But surely you would feel like you need to go, if you liked it that much.
Oh yeah, I'm going to go back like and watch the rest watch of it. But like, one. I feel like it'd been Injustice and not included on my list. And when I saw that it was released this in 2019, I was like, oh yeah, it's definitely in the top 10, because it was one of the best movies I've seen in a while, and it was very, very, very good. The acting was amazing. Was interesting. The like climatic theme, you just sort of seem like, oh fuck, because it's not what you expect, and you're like, ah shit, and it's like, how fucking dark.
No, I very much enjoyed Waves. It didn't make my top 10, but it's definitely a very good film. It opens with Be Above It from Lonerism by Tame Impala. It's the opening song.
Oh, really?
With the main character like working out aggressively, and it's got that kind of vibe. It literally, that song, the riff, the good... you're joking, Ewan, but that repeats throughout the film. It's like they use that song in the same way that song is probably written. It's like,
yeah,
this guy has this fucking thing in his head and he's like, come on, you could be better than this, and it's just a constant thing. But yeah, like Aaron said, something very traumatic happens, and when I first watched it I had to like pause it for like 20 minutes and like walk around, and I was like, oh, wow. Shit, all right, let's go second half. And the second half is a lot more chill and a lot more
Wait, can we know this traumatic thing? Like, I am surprised it took you 20 minutes to compose.
I think Aaron and I have talked it up. It. I'm sure one of you wants to watch it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I kind
of
want to know too. I don't care.
Would it fuck you up?
Just fucking Google it.
Yeah, true. You can just watch it on YouTube.
Waves.
Waves traumatic.
By
shit.
Dean Lewis.
Shut the fuck up.
It's now Jaden's fifth favorite movie of 2019.
So, for number five, I've chosen The Gentleman.
How do they find it? I'm making inquiries.
His name is Fahok. It's spelled with a PH, so it sounds like Fahok.
Please!
All right, Fahok. Come to Fahok.
Please!
I just remember the feeling that I got when I, like, finished that movie. It was just, like, it was different. If I remember correctly, it was about marijuana and this guy... I think it was Matthew McConaughey, his character running a big underground business of the marijuana trade. Fuck, what happened in the end? Fuck. I remember at the end, like, his wife gets sexually assaulted and then he just walks in and just shoots him in the face or something. And I was just like... just super fucking weird, but like really indie.
It is a classic Guy Ritchie returning to form, making like a star-studded cast gangster / crime film with a lot of swearing and thick British accents. Very enjoyable.
Wait, how many times has Guy Ritchie had to return to form that it's now a classic for him to do so?
I mean, a return to his original style that he got famous for.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Okay, for my number five, I have a film that probably wasn't on my top 10 first time I watched it, but now I've watched it again and it's just pretty good. It's called Midsommar.
Dude, she needs a therapist. You've been wanting out of this stupid relationship for like a year now.
And don't forget about all of the beautiful Swedish women you'll meet in June.
Okay, guys. That's not her again. Seriously?
Babe, what's happening? Danny.
Hey.
The same guy who made Why Podcast's favorite movie of 2018, Hereditary. This is his take on relationships and a bit of, like, grief with regard to, like, traumatic events. So just like Hereditary was about family and there was a horror movie about family, this is a horror movie about being in a relationship that you shouldn't be in, pretty much. And it's quite absurd what happens. And the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, oh, this is just like The Wicker Man or some shit. You know, Ari Aster is like heavily inspired by like 70s horror movies. So once you can get over some of like the similarities and things he's drawn inspiration from, you can just appreciate it for itself. Lots of cool drug sequences.
Wait, am I wrong in thinking that this movie's like about a cult? So is there like a cult in it?
Yes. Okay. It's about a... I never explained what it's about, actually. It's about a woman who goes through a personal tragedy and then kind of latches onto her boyfriend, who is kind of done with the relationship but hasn't really had the balls to say anything. And they go to Sweden for a midsummer festival in this, like, fucking community in the middle of nowhere. It's basically, yeah, it's twisted. It's twisted, and I'm sure you'd enjoy it, whoever hasn't seen it. Okay, Kenan, number five.
So my number five was also directed by, was the same director of Get Out. It's Us.
It's Us.
They look exactly like us. They think like us. They know where we are. We need to move and keep moving.
Oh, Mr. Yeah, Key Peele.
There was something really eerie and like about all these like characters just not really talking but still being terrifying. And the movie itself is basically about a... Do I need to go into that? No, let's keep it quick. It was... I liked it. It was a really good movie. I don't really know what else to say.
Nice. Yeah, I liked Us quite a bit. Not in my top 10, but it kind of shares some common themes with a movie that is in my top 5, which is probably part of the reason why it kind of cancels out.
It was nothing... It was no, like, jump-scary kind of... You know, always on your edge of your seat thriller. Was more of a... Oh, wait, yeah, it was a kind of always on the edge of your seat thriller. It wasn't kind of a jump scary kind of movie, which I liked. Where it's just, they're always... It's
more atmospheric kind of.
Yeah. You're never at peace. You're always, like, looking behind the character's back. There's always someone there. It's kind of that kind of movie. And I liked it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm still on the see anything Jordan Peele makes, no matter what. Train.
I still haven't even seen Get Out. I gotta watch that at some point.
Oh, are you too cool for that one too?
No, I'm not too cool for it. There's just lots of movies I just never get around to watching.
I'm sure you'll think it's overhyped by now.
Yeah.
It's been spoken up so much, but it is essentially a...
No, I think people have forgotten about it, to be honest.
Get Out, yeah, it's been so, it's I mean, been pretty
within,
old now. Yeah.
Within the film community, it's like regarded as one of the most like essential movies of like the last decade, but primarily because of like its social impact and social commentary. It is literally just like really? A fucking, it's like just a classic horror movie, but with just that small twist. Shit, yeah. Number four, Ewan.
My number four is the Academy Award-winning Best Picture, Parasite.
부잣집 거예요. 돈도 많이 줘.
아, 이 덱식구단 참 잘 속아, 그지?
아버지, 저는 이게 위조나 범죄라고 생각하지 않아요.
우리도 뭔가 준비를 해야겠다.
오, 너는 계획이 다 있구나.
Lovely.
I saw it with Kartika, and we were late, so she had to... She'd already seen it, so she had to recap the first 10 minutes or so of the film to me. So I missed kind of the original setup with the family and showing that they were all sort of poor and stuff. But I did think it was a very good film, and I grew to appreciate it more after I watched it, and I was like reading some things about it and people talking about it. And I finally got the like the dual sort of parasite thing of the... Like the poor family is being a parasite on the rich.
Wait. Spoilers.
Yeah, so don't spoil this one. Don't spoil this
okay.
one.
Okay. All right, my bad.
Well, you haven't seen it? No, you still haven't. Fuck.
Oh, shit. Anyway, yeah, there's it's a very, like, it's a deep film, I think, and certainly one that would benefit from more than one viewing. So I'm sure I'll go back and view it again at some point.
Absolutely.
Is it in English?
No, it's Korean.
Is it entirely Korean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's Bong Joon-ho or whatever.
No, it is.
Annyeonghaseyo.
All right.
But it's probably this and Parasite and Moonlight, the only two best pictures they got right in the past 10 years. So.
Oh, Moonlight. I like Moonlight. That was a good movie.
Wait. What?
Moonlight?
What do you mean they got right? Isn't it a just a majority vote?
No, but like, no, he's saying they usually don't pick the best that, movie.
Yeah, fair. Like Green Book or whatever.
Yeah, man, fuck. I'm not even joking. I blocked that out of my mind. Like, I saw on the internet that Green Book won Best Picture, and I was like, I honestly have no memory of this. I honestly swear to God, think I blocked
this. It's like the reverse Mandela effect.
Yeah, dude.
I only remember Green Book because there's a song that I like called Green Book that came out in like the early 2000s, but. Yeah, that's the only reason why it still pops into my head.
Okay, so we've just done fucking Ewan's number four. It's now Aaron's number four.
A.
Four.
All right, then. Wow. All right, so my number four is Midsommar.
It's sort of a crazy festival. Special ceremonies and dressing up.
That sounds fun.
Unbelievable.
Welcome and happy Midsummer. Skål!
As Rory previously stated, it's a very good movie. Rory told me about it beforehand, so I went into it with the mindset that like Hereditary is about family, Midsummer is about relationships, and it's actually very relevant about relationships. Basically, the girls they're both in a relationship, but the guy's sort of mentally checked out. He's no longer in love with her, but it's just basically with her for, I guess, convenience or just, like, holding on to something that's dead. So basically the whole relationship, so very much about, like, a dead relationship that, like, I guess she still loves him, but it's not reciprocated. But, yeah, this is very good. It's also very good about cults. I actually watched a video beforehand about the movie, about a guy who, like, was in a cult. And he sat down and watched Midsommar and was actually talking about how realistic it was, about how cults try and manipulate you and making you stay and stuff, and about the mental games they play. Yeah, overall it was a very good movie, very interesting. Visually it was very beautiful. A lot of the shots are very dynamic. Acting is very good. Yeah, I think overall it's a very good movie. If you look at it, come into it, watch thinking about breakups and about relationships, it's actually very, very good. And yeah, just sort of overall a very good movie from start to finish. A couple parts are like, what the fuck? But like, overall it's a pretty good movie. Keeps you on your edge, so yeah.
It edges you for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I know personally for myself,
I love being
what
edged.
The fuck?
I like horror movies that are more like suspenseful than like actual just like gore or like jump scares. I don't really like that. I'm more like the movies is more like keeping you on edge, more suspense sort of style. That's more my sort of vibe for a horror movie. So yeah, it's good.
The future of horror is in good hands with Ari Aster and Robert Eggers, both making great movies.
Yeah, I feel like the last sort of decade, like horror, after the sort of Paranormal Activity phase got over, like horror movies really kind of stepped it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then movies like The Nun came out.
Mate, no one watched The Fucking Nun.
Yeah.
But The Nun was a spin-off of...
of Conjuring 2, yeah.
Yeah, and that was okay. But
The Conjuring 2 was scary as shit, and then The Nun was just like, what, oh, let's put him in a chapel and put some blood in a pool at the bottom, and that's the scariest thing we've
seen.
Wait,
what was The Conjuring 2? Wasn't that just at the house? Or?
No, Conjuring 1 was the house, Conjuring 2 was literally The Nun. The Nun was in Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
So the fun
well,
house?
But The Nun
Conjuring
was so obviously
2 is
like a
like
cash
very
out.
Reminiscent of The Exorcist. Like, quite similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Jaden, you're number four. You must really like this also. I wonder what it will be.
All right. So, my fourth pick is the fourth installment of Toy Story, Toy Story 4.
Everyone, Bonnie made a friend in class.
Oh, she's already making friends.
No, she literally made a new friend.
I want you to meet Forky.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a spork.
Yes, yeah, I know. Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now. We all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Oh. I've never seen it. Is it a good movie? is that a joke? I don't know. I've never seen it.
I thoroughly enjoyed this film. I was against the idea of a fourth Toy Story film because I thought the third one just ended the trilogy like perfectly. I was like, oh, fuck, why are they making a fourth one? But when I saw the movie, it fit in place quite well because I'm not sure if, yeah, Ewan, you said you haven't seen it, right?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
I've seen it. I agree.
Wasn't the main character a fucking...
Do I spoil it or not?
Yeah, it's a Toy Story movie. You can spoil it.
Don't spoil it. Okay.
Don't spoil it.
Okay. But, like, I think it fit in well because it was just more... I guess it was more about the toys? That's not a good way of describing it.
It's more about Woody as himself, as a character.
Yeah, it's more about being slightly selfish, I guess, but in a good way.
Hasn't it always been about Woody, though, through the other movies?
Not really, because he's always been, like, the one that's trying to help his friends and stuff, but now he's thinking...
Oh, now he's thinking for realization. Himself. Okay, fair enough.
He actually has to, like, look out for himself now. Or, like, not like that. But, like, it's hard to describe.
Yeah,
without
I will say, like,
it.
I
murdering all the toys.
I also thought that it was going to be like a lazy cash-in sort of, but then I did hear good things about it.
Yeah, the biggest compliment give it as a movie is that it feels like a part of the Toy Story like story. It doesn't feel like a tacked-on thing after the third one ended it.
Just for money.
It does feel like an epilogue because it is really, but.
It's like a El Camino of Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure I'll get around to that.
Yeah, but like, I think Pixar just knocks it out of the park every time.
Oh, for sure.
Pixar. They rarely fuck up a film.
My number four is a Chinese movie called Long Day's Journey into Night. Very, very artistic, maybe Wong Kar-wai-esque, dreamy dreamscape of a movie. Where this man is searching for an old lover that he remembers from like his 20s and is pretty much traveling through his memories and also him traveling in the real world and this woman that he's searching for appearing in his dreams and appearing in the real world. Probably the most talked about thing of this movie is it ends with a 45-minute 3D tracking shot.
Wow.
Similar to 1917 in an impressive type of tracking shot thing, but in terms of tracking shots from this year, this would be my favorite because it's not grounded in reality. So the character will be going through a space and then the camera starts flying through the air and there's like this artistic voiceover, blah, blah, all this music and the vibes are like very good. I was watching this and probably 10 minutes in I was like, damn, I need to get fucked up, and I like just got a bottle of wine and I was like, this is definitely a bottle of wine movie where you need to have patience, but like if you're like in the right mindset for it, it's like fucking amazing.
Wait, so you were drinking from the bottle?
No I also had a wine glass, but I was like, "This,
like, sir, fuck this
is required." to like put you just in a bit of a altered state, because that's how the movie makes you feel anyway. Like, it really does feel like a dream, the whole thing. Yeah. And Kanan, number four.
Yes, my number four is the same as Aaron's. It's Midsommar.
What am I going through?
We just need to acclimate.
I don't want to acclimate, I want to go.
Absolutely not.
What's happening? I don't know why you invited us.
Oh shit. Dude, this guy might be our best. This might be our favorite director on the podcast going forward.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it's only been two movies, but and they're pretty. So, but no, I never actually went into the movie with that whole it's about relationships mindset, and I didn't come out of it either. But as y'all were talking about it, as I kind of remember the movie, it makes a lot of sense. I can see how that makes, like, with Hereditary being family, I can see how this is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Wait, has everyone seen it?
No.
Ah, shit. Well, the last scene is fucking awesome, in my opinion. The bear thing.
Kanan actually spoiled this last episode, but I don't think Jaden realized, so it's fine.
Wait, who spoiled it? I don't.
I'm pretty sure you just talked about the ending of Midsommar while we were talking about Hereditary. I don't think Aaron had seen it at that point, but he might have just not paid attention, so it's fine.
Ah, that's fine. That's good. He doesn't watch these podcasts anyway. But no, it was pretty cool. And then I can't say much about what I liked without spoiling it, but I like how the movie played out.
I guess it works as a multi-layered thing. You can watch it without thinking about the relationship aspect and stuff.
Yeah, not at all. Like, and you still enjoy like everything that goes on and the creepiness. Oh man, like there's so many scenes that are cool to talk about. Fucking watch it, guys.
I've still never seen that or Hereditary, so
damn,
I've
bro. Well, even Hereditary is the unanimous best film of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We had it in like our top threes, right? All of us, or our top
two.
Nah,
it was like number 10.
Something
online,
like that.
I still very much liked it.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Finally, number three. This is the
big boys.
This is when you know Kanan and Jaden like watched the movie for sure.
Impossible.
That is true. That is true.
Ewan Stevens, what is your number three? You have the floor.
My number three, second appearance for this one, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
My hands are registered as lethal weapons. We get into a fight, I accidentally kill you, I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter.
Quentin Tarantino's love letter to Hollywood and the golden era of Hollywood that he grew up. Oh, I suppose it's like the end of the golden era of Hollywood, which he kind of marks with the death of what's her name?
Sharon Tate.
I thought it was a really good, I thought it was a really good 2/3 of a film. I really liked the exploration of Leonardo DiCaprio's character, this sort of like kind of washed up actor who was kind of successful but never quite broke through into being like an A-list guy, and then he gets this comeback but he washes out again by doing like spaghetti westerns and stuff. I thought that the exploration of his character and also his dynamic with Brad Pitt, as you mentioned, Rory, was really well done, and I thoroughly enjoyed the first 2/3 of the film. And then I can pinpoint almost exactly the point where it changed and I stopped liking it as much. I didn't think it was bad, but the point where the voiceover starts,
mm-hmm,
in like Act 3, where just out of nowhere suddenly there's a voiceover, it felt very Tarantino in that kind of like self-fantasy, like daydreaming thing where he's just like, but what if this actually happened? Like, it's the same thing with Inglourious Bastards, of you're sitting around daydreaming and you're like, how would I have won World War II? It's like, you imagine yourself there, you're like, how would I have stopped these guys, is what that final sequence sort of felt like. It was a brutal fight scene. Like, it's the sort of like the way it's done with the effects and especially the sound is those ones that really make you like clench your butthole. Still remember.
What the fuck? I was like, zoning you know, out, when and you then get I was like that.
You zoned back in when he said clench your butthole.
I still remember the sound of the can of dog food smacking, like when he ditches that at the girl's nose. I can still remember that sound. So yeah, a very well made film. Really enjoyed the character exploration in the first two thirds. Last act kind of went off the rails a little bit, but
I do agree with Tarantino. It seems like Tarantino trying to be a bit more mature in the first two thirds, but then he's like, ah, fuck it, and he just does what he usually does. But it's still like very okay. Aaron Hawkins, number three.
Mine's kind of a weird movie. Found it on Netflix by chance.
What the fuck?
Jesus Christ.
That's my nephew. Hold on, sorry. I'll mute the mic.
Someone put Brady to bed.
Is Keenan a dad now?
Oh my
Imagine
god.
Imagine if he was like that. Oh, that's my son.
You are hiding a child.
Yeah.
And Aaron Hawkins, your number three favorite.
Okay, so I found this on Netflix by chance, but it was very, very fucking good. It's I guess it comes out as a French film. It's is in French, but it's not French. If it makes sense. It's Atlantics. It's a movie set in Senegal. It's about a bunch of refugees. I don't know if anyone's seen it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Roy because I think he'd be the only person to watch it.
It is a film. It is good. Yes.
What do you think
of
it?
I like it. I like it quite a lot, but yeah. it's not my top 10.
Ooh. Yeah, no, I really, really liked it. I think it was... I've never seen a film like that, about like that sort of topic before, and that sort of perspective. But, yeah, I know. It's hard to describe. It's just like... It's set in Africa. It's set about like refugees wanting a better life and just a lot of hope, like ups and downs. The girl thinks that her husband... I like lover's dead and just I know it's a whole lot of I know this is a very very good film. If you want to like settle down and watch a good film, I'd highly recommend it. I think it's still on Netflix, but yeah.
I think it is, yeah. So Jaden, your number three.
My number three is Joker.
For my whole life I didn't know if I even really existed, but I do. Starting to notice.
You think this is funny?
Yeah, I think Ewan summed this up quite well. I don't really have much more to add. When I came out of that movie, I felt like, oh yeah, I was. I expected more from it. Like it just was way overhyped.
Yeah.
And I still liked it. I think it was a good commentary on mental health. While having that your usual comic book vibe, it didn't really feel like a comic book at the same time as well. It's weird.
Yeah.
It was a original take on the character, but I think it was just a bit too pretentious.
How is this your number three?
Because he watched nothing in 2019, Aaron.
No, but like you've criticized this movie more than any other movie on your list.
No, I still like it. It's just not number one.
If you've seen the Scorsese movies, The King of Comedy and Taxi Driver, if you just made those movies, fuck, it would be Joker. And that's probably the main reason that I just was like checked out of the movie. I was like, absolutely no plot points were surprising because I was like, yep, seen this, yep.
Actually, well, I'll counter something that Jaden just said. I think one of the things I didn't like was that, I guess to me, the first experience I had with Joker was Heath Ledger. And so that's what I think of as Joker. And I could never see the Joker in this movie becoming that Joker. Like, even though Joaquin Phoenix did like a really good portrayal, I could never see him becoming a guy who fights Batman.
Yeah, that makes
like,
sense.
It didn't feel like it was. It didn't feel like he should have been Joker. If I reckon, if they took that away, it might have actually been a better film.
Oh yeah, because all the Bruce Wayne bullshit is like the worst part. It's all the stuff where they have to fucking feed it into the DC universe just to make it like popular.
Yeah,
that's all the stuff that is like probably the worst part of it.
Mm. I reckon if that wasn't in there, like people would still be thinking about that movie. Was it even a comic book movie?
Yeah, no, it didn't feel like one. It definitely didn't feel like a comic book movie. It was mainly because of the hype. That's why most audiences liked it. It was so hyped up, especially here.
I feel like
I don't know.
As soon as you throw Joker on any movie, it just gets hyped as fuck.
They're gonna because it used to be a good until fucking Suicide Squad showed up. Every Joker is a good Joker.
yeah, we could do a whole podcast about Joker, but let's move on. My number three is The Lighthouse.
How long have we been on this rock? 5 weeks? 2 days? Help me to recollect.
It's been covered before. The
is that third or fourth appearance?
Shit, Lighthouse might be a fan favorite, huh?
this is a black and white movie set on a small island that has a lighthouse. It has two actors in it, Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe, and it's pretty much just them together for the whole movie. With the main theme being the lighthouse and maybe who has control over it. One of those movies you say is like pure cinema because you could like the whole story is pretty much just told in the visuals. Mm. Like the dialogue is like interesting and leads to a lot of like dark comical moments. But it's literally just Willem Dafoe versus Robert Pattinson. Battle for the Lighthouse. Not too different from Avengers Endgame.
What the fuck?
Okay. We'll now go
I don't think
on
that's ever been said in history.
I was going to say, speaking of which, we've reached our final three, and I don't know if you've noticed, but Endgame has not been said in my list yet.
Oh, no.
That being said, my number three is in fact Joker.
One small thing.
Yeah.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Hell yeah! High five!
Oh, let's go! Oh,
did you just high five yourself?
Yeah, I did.
Is that the first double off of the same number? I think it is.
No, me and Aaron had Midsummer.
Oh, right, yeah.
No, not. But that wasn't the same number.
Yeah, that was four. Both of us had a four.
Oh, no way.
Shit.
Yeah.
High five.
Fuck!
Okay, Kanan, why did you like...
I can talk about the same. I liked it because, in fact, the hype kind of pulled me into. I guess that's the honest way to put it. And also, the last Joker I had seen was Suicide Squad, so it was a refreshing change to see a person actually know how to act. And, other than that, you guys make good points besides that, though. Like, it's... It did think it was better than itself, the movie as a whole, and I can see that. That's why it's not my number one, but I definitely think it's one of the better movies I saw in 2019.
Nice.
And I would watch it again, yeah.
Good.
Okay, here we are, almost at the top. It is number two.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Shut up.
Ooh, my number two. The Netflix epic. I think it's 3 hours long. I was surprised this hasn't actually come up on anyone else's list yet. The Irishman.
I want you to meet my cousin, Russell Bufalino.
How are you?
Hey, nice to meet you.
It was like the army. You followed orders. You did the right thing. You got rewarded. I'm
a man. A friend of ours is having a little trouble. A friend at the top.
Martin Scorsese's sort of final goodbye to his gangster films. It's got the classic Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci and Al Pacino, you know, reprising their classic gangster roles, but they're all fucking old now. What I really liked about, I think there's a common theme between my top three of, they're all kind of this sort of depressing examination of people whose lives haven't quite gone right, I guess. Not so much in my number one, but definitely I feel like this and Hollywood I like for the same reason of, I really enjoyed the slow ending to this film, which kind of mirrors the slow ending to Frank Sheeran's life. Like, he's just kind of sitting there in a nursing home, and he's just waiting to die, and he's just, all he can do is reflect on his life and the choices that he made, and he goes through that, and it's an interesting, I enjoy watching the gangster parts of the film, but I enjoy that the theme and the character exploration of this old man who's sitting there, and he's got to contend with the fact that, you know, his daughter hates him because of what he did, and all he wants is the love of his family, but he can't get it anymore. And yeah, I just felt it was very powerful, and I quite enjoyed that thematic. I enjoy those kinds of themes, so this one really captured it for me.
Incredible film. Aaron just farted.
I heard it. That was on the mic. That's going to be in the recording.
It was. It absolutely was.
Speaking of Aaron and shit, here is Aaron's number two.
So my number two is going to go watch with a couple of people in this podcast, in this pod, if you would. It's Booksmart.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Nobody knows that we are fun. We didn't party because we wanted to focus on school and get into good colleges.
And it worked.
But the irresponsible people who partied also got into those colleges.
I'm incredible at hand jobs, but I also got a 1560 on the SATs.
We haven't done anything. We haven't broken any rules. Name?
Oh, fuck. I forgot that came out into... Oh, man, I got to change my list around.
Yeah, it's very...
Oh, fuck. Yeah. All right, start again.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's, like, the best film ever made, but for what it is, as in, like, a teen comedy movie, I think it's very, very good. I think it's quite, like... I think a lot of teen comedies have been quite stale and predictable, whereas I feel like Booksmart was quite, like, I guess, fresh. All the characters were quite fresh, and, like, just overall was also a very good movie, and I just thoroughly enjoy it, and in my head it's, like, it's like the perfect teen comedy, and I really like it. I also like how it factors on two girls instead of focusing on, like, guys. For, like, because most teen comedies are centered around, like, a guy and a girl, or two guys and your guys. Like, it's not like a... There's been many teen comedies that just focuses purely on the girl. And it's not, like, centered around, like, oh, my God, will Jared ask me out? It's more like the girls trying to navigate their sort of high school experience with their own sort of set things. And yeah, from start to finish, it was just a very, very good movie. And, like, Gigi, one of the characters on the show, is arguably one of my favourite characters I've ever seen in a teen comedy movie. Like, every line she says is just gold, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Great choice.
Yeah.
'Twas a great film.
Yeah. Honestly, I've just reordered my list. Booksmart coming in at number four.
Damn. How'd you forget that one?
I did really like that one.
So 11, yeah, no, top 11.
Fully left my mind.
What did you knock off? Uncut Gems is now cut.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. It is now a cut gem.
Suck a dick in a sandwich.
Jaden O or Furry, did you guys see Booksmart?
Fuck it out.
Oh, I have not, no.
No, you should watch it.
It's very good.
Definitely a movie everyone would like.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah?
You're asking a guy who put Jumanji Next Level in his top seven if he's seen a
actually
movie.
I haven't even really heard about it before.
It's essentially 2019's version of Superbad, but probably a better movie.
What were you saying before Jen cut you off?
Like what you were saying, that it is, like, it is a teen comedy and a coming of age film, but it's a really well done one and a fresh take on it. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, Jaden, number two.
Alright. My number two has been said a few times. Can anyone guess what it is?
Endgame.
No, I've already said that, Keenan.
You said that shit. Yeah. It's Spider-Man.
It is Knives Out.
When
When people get desperate, the knives come out. This is a twisted web. And we are not finished untangling it. Not yet.
Sorry, what was it?
It is Knives Out.
Oh, shit.
Knives Out.
Oh, Knives Out.
I like it.
Yeah. No, I thought this film, it was just really fun to watch for me. Like, I just really, really enjoyed that one. That's really all it adds to it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I wasn't really paying attention. It was more for the plot. I wasn't paying attention to, like, the cinematography or anything like that. I was just like, fuck, this is a really cool, like, just crime film.
Yeah. It's a good film to just, like, get lost in.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just, like, really just invested into each scene, just trying to figure it out. Because I don't think I haven't really seen that many of those, like, style films in a while. So it was, like, a new refreshing take on it. And I was like, fuck, this is cool.
Mm. Did you see it, Aaron?
No.
No, oh. Damn.
Which one? Avengers?
Knives Out.
No, never seen it.
Aaron wasn't even listening to any of
he
that.
He wasn't even listening. This guy's just checked out. He hasn't even been listening to any of our...
The fucked thing, it wasn't even my phone. It's just connected to the wall.
It's like he expects us to listen to all this Chinese bullshit, and then he's like,
exactly, and then he just sits on his phone while we're talking. He's just on fucking Instagram.
I wasn't even on my phone. I was just staring at the wall.
You are a dickhead. I'm going to start my explanation again and make sure he listens.
No, he heard it.
Yeah, so that's my number two, Avengers Knives Out.
Avengers Knives Out.
Technically, it's actually Star Wars Episode 8.5 because it's also directed by Rian Johnson.
I've actually never heard of Knives Out before this night.
So. Really?
Yeah.
You must have. Damn, that's shocking. Okay, it's now time for my number two. As I explained earlier, my top four could be shuffled in any way, depending on my mood. But I'm going to say my number two is The Irishman.
It's what it is.
What it is.
I know things they don't know I know. It's going to happen. Either way, he's going.
Oh, nice.
That is another tie of me and Ewan both having it as our number two.
Hey, there we go.
This is
make sure you high five.
Yes.
Make sure you high five, guys.
Okay, but The Irishman, this is a true epic 3.5-hour movie.
Jesus.
On Netflix. Martin Scorsese, who's probably still the best filmmaker in the world, and he's like 80. The dude made Taxi Driver is probably my favorite movie, and he made Goodfellas, Casino, Wolf of Wall Street, a bunch of just classic movies. And I think if you've seen all of his work, this movie it is like an emotional gut punch times 10. If you imagine all the characters from Goodfellas, if they had lived to old age, what they would be like... So it's essentially a gangster movie.
Yeah.
Starring Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci, teaming up with Martin Scorsese. Those names all working together would have like made you had an orgasm in like the 90s. But now they're all old. And it's pretty much a series of side quests for the first like 2.5 hours. It's Robert De Niro's character working his way up through the ranks of organized crime. And there's no particular plot that's a common theme throughout that. It's more just the people he interacts with, the friends he gains, and this subtle... he's becoming friends with the Al Pacino character, and he's got the Joe Pesci character who he's also loyal to, and it's... sort of this ongoing level of tension that seems to be building. And then the last hour of this movie is probably like one of the most emotionally gut-wrenching things you will ever see. And it's... the first 2.5 hours are roughly edited like a classic Scorsese gangster movie. If you guys have seen Wolf of Wall Street, similar to that as well. Relatively fast-paced, quite entertaining. Things are moving and people are getting shot. It's fun, but there's also subtitles that come up on the screen that show when everyone dies, etc. So it's kind of deliberately breaking.
Yeah, I really appreciated that detail.
Its own like immersion. And then suddenly there's all these quick cuts, blah blah blah, for 2.5 hours, and then suddenly it's one shot of Robert De Niro sitting on a plane after he's been told he has to murder his best friend. And it just doesn't cut for like a minute, and it's just De Niro just looking straight ahead, and it's like, no, this is what gangsters are really like. It's not fun. Like, you have to fucking kill your best friend. And then it's really slow-paced leading up to this thing. And yeah, fuck.
This is like a fucking spoiler fucking
description. Yeah, but dude, no offense. I didn't think you were going to watch it.
Man.
To be fair, also, that's probably like
one of the ones I was going to watch.
Jaden, once you start watching the movie, like the fact that that's going to happen becomes apparent.
It is also like based on a true story, so technically not a spoiler, but you know, I would also recommend.
I mean, technically, we don't know that he did it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but I would recommend watching Goodfellas at least, Martin Scorsese's 1990 gangster movie. It's all the same guys in it. They'll kind of give you some context as to why this is like such a legendary movie, and why it's probably going to be remembered as like one of Scorsese's last like fucking masterpiece movies. Yeah. Mm. So depending on my mood, that's my number one. But I've left something else as my number one as of right now. Keenan, your number two.
My number two. I don't think any of you guys have. This on your list. It's Ford versus Ferrari.
Suppose Henry Ford II wanted to build the greatest race car the world's ever seen to win the 24 hours of Le Mans. What's it take?
Well, it takes something money can't buy.
Money can buy speed.
What in about speed? You need a pure racer behind the wheel of your car. That's Ken Miles.
I don't trust him an inch.
We heard he's difficult.
No, Ken's a puppy dog.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Have y'all seen it?
No.
I have. Great choice.
Have not.
You have. You had no choice, is that what you said?
I said great choice.
I had no choice.
Oh, you said great choice. Yeah. You said I had no choice.
The same man who directed Logan.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't know that. I just really like the movie. Something about motorsport movies, which are just really good. The movie is basically about, like, this, at the time, small-time, like, car designer for Ford. Going up against the giants, which is like Ferrari, right? And it's basically how they have just this very short time period to build a car that could beat Ferrari to the 1966 Le Mans or something like that. And the movie itself is about him building a team, getting a reluctant like driver to drive for him, and eventually, no spoilers, but they try and build a car that can beat Ferrari. And yeah, like. The reason it's like all the way up there is like most. Have y'all watched like Rush and like Senna and stuff? All those other like motorsport movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ironically, they're the slowest fucking movies you'll ever watch. Like they're just the setup, the story. It's just so slow. But this movie does a great job at like actually keeping it fast paced. Like the way it's set up, the way it's told, the story. It's not like. As slow as you might, it's not like them just like building up to something and then it's like a 7-minute scene of it and that's it. It's actually keeps you on your toes throughout the movie, which I really liked.
Cinematography is like fucking beautiful. It looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It also has a bit of that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like two actors that you've never seen together who like have really good chemistry, like Matt Damon and Christian Bale. All right, as is tradition for the Y podcast, it's Ewan's number one. We'll now all have a chance to guess what it is. I have a pretty good idea, so I'm not going to guess. But
yeah, I think Rory might know.
Avengers Endgame.
I will say it has come up once before in somebody else's list.
Okay. Can you give us a genre?
I suppose sort of like
Parasite.
Action drama.
Is it Parasite?
No,
he's already done that. You dig in.
Yeah, I'm the only person who's put action
drama.
You are the only
action
person.
Drama.
Psychological.
It's gotta be Jumanji.
I think Ewan probably only has Parasite on his list.
No,
who else would
Parasite.
Have it? The others want to be too different.
I'd probably say of the Irishman.
Yeah, was I the only person who put Parasite in?
He's already
it's
had
fucking
it.
Yeah. Hobbs and Shaw, isn't it?
All right, so no one has a guess.
All right, fine. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He's already had that. No one's been paying attention.
He's...
Okay, everyone's just guessing movies I've already put in my list.
Everyone quiet. Can I guess, right. Ewan?
Rory, can you say your guess?
Is it Ad Astra?
It is indeed Ad Astra.
I am attempting to stop an uncontrolled antimatter reaction, which threatens our entire solar system.
We're approaching Mars.
Spacecom believes my father's responsible.
I do recognize that it is basically just Apocalypse Now. But I went into it knowing nothing. I think you just brought me along, Rory, and you're like, let's go watch this film. And I don't know, I just really liked it. Like the father-son like relationship dynamic I enjoyed, and I just enjoyed that like quiet contemplative journey through space of like the examination of the character relationships and the human psyche. I do like fully understand some of like the criticisms that it has, but I don't know, when I was watching it I was just like completely enthralled. Except for the fact that there was a Chinese, or there was an Asian man like sitting next to me who talked through the whole fucking thing. But other than that, very much enjoyed it.
Was that Victor Lo?
No, it was some old fucker.
We're now on to Aaron Hawkins' number one. Right. Does anyone have a guess?
Parasite.
Yeah, I do. Parasite. I'm going to say Parasite.
I think he said he hasn't seen Parasite. So
I have not seen Parasite.
Oh.
Oh fuck.
Oh, you're a disgrace to the Korean people.
That's true. It came out when Aaron was in Korea, surely.
Look, we had opportunities to, we never did. We watched Chinese films instead.
Yeah.
Hmm. What might Aaron's number one
It's definitely going to be something that we don't... Like, no one knows because, like...
Except Rory.
That's how he derives his self-identity.
I don't think he was there.
I think the only person who's seen it might be Rory. But that's, like, might be.
Shit.
Avengers right, Endgame.
I guess no one has a guess. Yeah. Let's see. What is Aaron's number one?
Avengers.
Star Wars Rise of
Lies
the
out.
Quiet, everyone.
Guys, shut
one.
The fuck up.
So, my number one was the Farewell.
What's wrong, Dad? Please tell me. Manan is dying.
She doesn't know, so you can't say anything. The family thinks it's better not to tell her.
Why is that better? Chinese people have saying, when people get cancer, they die.
Oh, I didn't know you watched that.
I have.
Right. Nice.
I watched it after we talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you like The Farewell?
I think it's just overall a very good movie, talking about like grief and the concept of dying and just... how families cope with sort of death. I don't know, when I watched it, sort of like brought a lot of similarities of how my family reacted to my granddad dying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you know? It's another Chinese family.
Do you want to explain to everyone what it's about?
So basically, it's I've got Awkwafina, if you know her. She's the girl from, she's in Crazy Rich Asians, but she's a very good actress. Basically, this grandma back in China is dying, and the family doesn't want to tell her that she's dying, so they keep it secret from her. So they all pretend to come back to China for, like, this fake wedding. But in reality, she's dying, but, like... So it's basically just deals with Awkwafina, like, sort of dealing with grief and how, like, to cope and... I don't know, this goes into, like, a lot of different details. It goes into, like, the immigrant experience about being disconnected from your culture, about how family structures work, different cultures work, and dealing with death. I don't know, it's just overall a very good movie. And, like, it's wholesome, it's also sad, and it's just... I don't know. It seems quite real in my regard, as in terms of like
true story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently it actually is a quite common concept in China, so like they don't tell the grandparent if they're dying.
Yeah.
Wait, to be clear, they don't tell Awkwafina that her grandma's dying? Or they don't tell the grandma that she's dying?
The grandma's dying. So Gemma's got, like, cancer, but, like, they don't tell her that she's dying.
But the family doesn't want her to know. Okay, yeah. Oh, that, like, sounds interesting.
Yeah, but apparently it's, like,
wait, quite... Wait, so the grandchild doesn't know?
No, the grandma
doesn't know she's dying.
The grandma doesn't know.
So the person who's dying...
Doesn't know she's dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the person who's actually dying doesn't know she's dying.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, but if you're old,
how is that even possible? You
know, well, okay, she probably knows she's dying, just not of cancer.
Well, she doesn't know that she's dying in, like, the next couple.
She doesn't
months.
Know she has, like, a couple months to live. She probably just thinks she's sick or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I was reading about, like, apparently it's quite common in China. Like, they'll, like, tell the family before they tell the old person that they're dying and shit. And, like, some families don't actually choose to tell the grandparent that they're dying of cancer. They just, like, want to make them comfortable and make them happy for, like, the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Rory. Any guesses on Rory's number one?
It's Jaden's, mate. Any guesses on Jaden's number one?
We haven't fucked up the order until now, Keenan.
Oh, wait, did we just fuck up
actually,
the order?
Actually, no, we did.
What?
I think we did at that point, didn't we?
You always went after Jaden, so we definitely fucked up the order.
It's Ewan, Aaron, Jaden, Rory, Keenan. It's been that the entire way.
Oh, fuck. Okay, you go. Yeah. It's been 2 hours,
man. We
almost fucked it up. My bad.
Okay. I also think I can guess Jaden, so I'm gonna hold back. Because I think he told me at some point that this was a movie he very much enjoyed.
Has it appeared before on somebody else's list?
Yes.
What's your guess, Ewan?
Has. You said you hadn't watched 1917, right?
No, I have watched that.
It's 1917.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my guess.
That was pretty easy to guess. Have you seen it? Yes.
I'm going to guess.
It's 1917.
Well, I also didn't know if he'd said it before, but yeah, that would have been my guess.
Let's see. Jaden, was that correct?
Sorry?
Was that correct?
No, it was Star Wars, Knives Out. Nah.
That was X-Men Dark Phoenix.
It's, yeah, it is 1917.
If you don't get there in time, we will lose 1,600 men. Your brother among them. Good luck.
This was, like, the only movie where I got to the end and I, like, literally said that was a masterpiece. Like, it was just, like, everything about that movie was, like, on point for me personally. What Ewan said before about the plot, I actually completely disagree with you. Like, I think, like, the simplistic nature of the plot made that movie. Like, if you think about, like, Saving Private Ryan, like, it's kind of the same thing. They just have to, like, save a guy, or in the case of this film, they have to deliver a message. So it's like, you got a mission, mission's simple, do it. But, like, the way this was, like, executed, the cinematography and stuff, I think was just, like, it was sick. The only point where I think I would complain is when they cut the film when he, like, fell down the stairs. I think that detracted from the one-shot take just a little bit. But other than that, I thought it was, like, masterpiece, to be honest. Like, the flare scene in particular, I thought that was one of the best scenes I've ever seen.
I really liked the nighttime in the town scene. Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah,
where the one where the flare flies over and the shadows are moving, and sometimes it goes to pitch black.
That was a really good part of
the score that plays over that scene was, like, it was sick, that scene. Yeah, and not much more to say. I was very surprised in the has everybody seen it?
No, I haven't. You can spoil it. It's fine.
I think I know what you're about to say, Jen, and I was also going to mention that did really catch me off guard when... Are you talking about the
plane scene?
After the plane crash? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I wasn't expecting them to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were going to, like, stick it out to the end. But, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool twist halfway through. And the fact that it was the guy's brother, like the one that was closest to the situation, I guess.
Yeah.
He died. That really catches you off guard because you'd think, well, he's the main character, but like really, it was his friend that was the main character.
It was a good subversion of expectation there.
Yeah.
Unless you watch the trailer.
And yeah, I did watch the trailer,
No,
but like it still caught
I
me
didn't
off
watch the
guard.
trailer.
I was like,
I mean, I was expecting it because I watched the trailer.
It's a classic, like, British, like, prestige movie.
Yes.
Every time they stop, it's like a progressively more famous British actor, which is like a cool touch, I guess.
Progressively more famous.
My number one, that the movie I've placed in the first spot. Any guesses?
Avengers Endgame?
We can't keep guessing that.
Has it come up before?
It has come up before.
Ooh. Ooh.
Joker.
Shazam.
It's definitely not a unique choice.
It's not a unique choice.
Parasite.
Oh, Parasite.
Parasite.
Parasite. Parasite. Parasite.
Yes, it is Parasite.
No way.
Amid my top four movies, kind of like covers the whole spectrum of types of movies I like. And this one is just the movie that is pretty much like a how-to guide on how to direct a movie. So I wouldn't say that I like it for the plot or like the characters or anything. And those are all really strong, and it's a really thrilling movie that like any of you guys would have in your top five or whatever if you watched it. But I've like watched this movie on mute, like with no sound, just as like a learning thing. It's like every shot has a purpose, and it's told in such like a masterful way that you could know exactly what is happening in this movie without having any sound. So I think that people wouldn't watch this because it has subtitles is fucking stupid because it's like a visually told story.
Why did Act think about like that, right?
But yeah, I've probably watched it like 4 or 5 times already. And yeah, first viewing is like, yeah, there's some like dark comedy. Social commentary stuff, a lot of like hidden meanings in the dialogue, etc. But personally, the reason I like it is because of like Bong Joon-ho's directorial style, where it's just a how-to guide on like this is what filmmaking is, pretty much. And a very well-deserved Oscar win for Best Picture and Best Director.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice, 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 nice.
The main event. Keenan Fernandez,
Oh boy.
number
Any
one.
I actually, wait. Number two wasn't Avengers, right?
Shit, is he zagging though? He is.
No,
The motherfucker
it's
is like
no.
baiting us. He's baiting us into guessing Avengers.
Oh,
Right,
dude,
do
it's got
this.
to be
I'm gonna say,
Endgame,
I'm gonna
man.
go.
It's got to be fucking
No,
Endgame.
I'm gonna go through the group. You have one guess, and if it's wrong, you don't get another one. Aaron, what's your guess?
Once upon a time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Okay.
Ewan.
Fuck it, Avengers. I don't know.
That's a solid guess. Jaden.
Yeah, Endgame.
Shit. All right, I'm gonna. It's not Zombieland Double Tap, is it? You fucking piece of shit. I swear to Christ, I'll hurt you. Okay.
I'm making a guess.
Okay, continue, continue.
This is gonna be another classic Keenan moment.
Oh
Oh
god, it
no.
is. Oh no.
I guess it's Zombieland, because I remember you talking about that, and I just saw it on my list of like shit I've seen, and I was like, wait, wait. He hasn't mentioned that yet.
Wait a minute.
Okay, Keenan, what is your number one?
I'll say at least one of y'all have got it right.
Oh no.
Okay. No, I mean.
It is, in fact, Endgame. It's Avengers.
Okay.
It's not turned off.
How is that not the best movie of 2019? Like, come on.
Yeah, let's it's all legit. Make it our number one. There we go.
Endgame. What? Why did you like Endgame?
It's the last chapter of a story that started in what, 2008. It's just, what was it, the most anticipated crossover ever? I don't know. It was exciting. Like, that was one movie I was actually excited to watch. I was waiting for it to come out. I can't think of another movie where I'm like looking for the release dates. Like, I never usually do that. So it had to be number one.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like there's a common joke on this podcast that liking Marvel movies is like fucking retarded or something. But like, Endgame is probably like most people's favorite movie from this year. And it's like, it's for what it is, it's very good. So like, that's a respectable choice. However, if it was Zombieland, also, I would have fucking killed you.
I'm not invited to next year if I do Zombieland.
Alright, that's the end of the Why podcast. Our only thing now is, what was our like favorite overall movie? Was there any single one movie on all of our lists? Because I don't think there was.
Midsommar.
Midsommar?
I don't think so.
Midsommar was on three.
Joker?
Was on three.
Joker appeared on three.
Shit.
1917
was on...
No, it didn't appear on mine.
Two only. The Irishman was on only two, but very high.
Mm.
The Lighthouse was also
Parasite.
On three. I feel like it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
Parasite was only on two.
So what about Knives Out? Was that on a few?
Oh shit, yeah. Who's...
Knives Out? I had Knives Out
that
on mine.
That was on three also. Damn, we don't have a fucking consistent one.
Fuck.
I'll have to listen.
What's the closest one? Do we have any that was on four?
Yeah, were any movies on four people's list?
No.
No, Midsommar was not.
That's fucked.
That's Aaron's fault. He kept choosing Chinese films.
Maybe I'll add a recording right now of what the actual mathematical number one was.
After doing the calculations, Midsommar has been crowned the best film of 2019 overall. Congratulations to Ari Aster, 2 years in a row.
Okay, so thank you for joining us, Ewan. How was your experience?
Oh, thank you for having me. It was very fun to be here.
He actually gave like reviews. It's crazy. We needed another person like that.
Yeah, it's almost like becoming a real podcast. It's kind of concerning.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to have only one of Ewan or Aaron on the podcast.
Ouch.
Or else it's too. I'm not saying Ewan the weak link.
No, I'm saying.
I'm saying like it's kind of tough to balance.
I do enjoy Ewan because I actually understand the movies he's talking about, whereas Aaron just says Korean and Chinese stuff most of the time.
Oh, we'll have a private discussion in our private group chat about who you want to invite back next year.
We're keeping it diverse.
I reckon Lobo.
When is next year?
Look, if we do any more than five people, it's got to be a top five, not a top ten.
Surely we do a curveball and just invite Enrique onto the show.
I can definitely send an invite out. I'm sure he'd be excited.
That'd be super interesting.
Have y'all talked to him yet? Y'all used to, right? Didn't y'all?
Who's the other guy? The guy
right,
who's
fuck
like,
it, fuck it. All right, let's say goodbye now because we're just talking about
dildo.
Goodbye,
everyone. See you next year.
Stop recording.
We can still talk. But
goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.